I'm so very excited.
Well, shit. Save yourself now. Hey, everyone. What's up? It's me, your host. I was going to say, am I willing, unwilling? I don't know. I mean, I'm here. I must be willing on some level. You're, sadomasochistic, heavy on the masochistic, apparently, lately. Host, Dangerous ASMR. And we're back to read more Moon People. For some reason. I know what I'm coming into, which is probably just more insanity and rage and beating my head against the wall going, why? But this way it's something other to think about than politics or climate change or whatever, COVID. No. I don't want to think about Earth problems. I want to be lost on the moon. This one is Moon People 2, Mars Reborn. By Dale Courtney. Your name is fucking stupid, sir. I hate your name, and I hate your stupid book, but I still paid you for it. See, I am the problem. Be the change you want to see in the world, and yet I'm supporting this man. However, do support your local artist, even if they suck. Dangerous ASMR. They need your money to not be living in boxes. And so, from one questionably talented artist to another, thank you, Dale Courtney, for this neutral loaf of words. I'm getting words out. I can intro this without just sobbing and rocking back and forth, which is kind of my initial thought, you know? I think there's like, okay, you know they say like that stupid, you have two wolves or whatever? Okay, right? Like, you have a good wolf and a bad, and which one lives, the one you feed? You fucking know this shit. You've heard it before. Anyway, in my brain, there's two wolves. There's the bad literature wolf and the good literature wolf, and we all know which one I've been feeding. And it's been chewing at my leg. It's been going, come on, you know you want to finish it. Maybe it'll get better. And it knows it won't. It knows. And I know, but I'm willing to play along. Maybe it will get better. Possibly. I mean, he's old enough to have three children. So I kind of doubt, but maybe you can teach an old Dale new tricks. And by tricks, I mean the use of quotation marks, paragraphs. No. Not Dale. He didn't get to have three children by using quotation marks. Now did he? He probably seduced his wife by taking her to Red Lobster 2 dates in a row, and every date subsequently, because he can't think of anything else to do. I'm going to vape now. And then I'm going to dig into this. This one has an introduction, which by introduction, I hope he means apology. I don't think he does, but we can hold out hope. The wolf told me it might happen this time. All right. I like in purple it says, Moon People 2. Little white letters. Mars Reborn. Dale M. Courtney. And then also in purple and bolded, lest you not know, Amazon rated Moon People with 5 stars. First of all, Moon People does not have 5 stars. Second of all, Amazon rated Moon People with 5 stars. Amazon the company? Is it a person? I have some words to say with Amazon. Is that just a thing you can say? Maybe it's a quote from someone, but we'll never know. Anyway, so he also says it's a work of fiction and names are fictitious. Really? The person named Dale Courtney in your story isn't based on Dale Courtney, you? The person who I'm assuming that's your name, or you're just using that stupid-ass fake name. Either way, I call bullshit, just like when you call this a book. All right. Introduction, Moon People 2. Just Not even just introduction. It says introduction, Moon People 2, lest we forget the book we're reading. I'm glad he's not introducing a completely different book for me. That would be extremely confusing. If it was like introducing The Bride of Frankenstein, you're like, why are we discussing this one? He's like, I just thought you should know it's way better than mine. Anyway, no. Introduction, Jurassic Park. So we pan out. There's all these dinosaurs and shit in this island. It's like crazy. Have you seen it? Anyway. This is basically the introduction, seems like a summary of the plot. And you know, I'd normally say, let's not spoil it, but let's spoil it. There's nothing to be spoiled. It's already trash, okay? You can't spoil what's out in the dumpster already. Introduction. Moon People 2, as opposed to any other. Still holding out hope for that. Jurassic Park. Tell me about Dr. Hammond's Park, please. Okay. The story is about the space adventures of first science officer Captain David Braemar. Oh boy. And his transition from the Lunar Base 1 base station to his new home, the Paulines traded us again. Already? Traded us, called the Aurora Moonship, also known as the Goddess of the Dawn. Oh, he used quotes for that one. Maybe it will last. It resembles a moon and is 10 kilometers in diameter, so the world's smallest moon, with light speed capability. It's the size of a small city, a moon-like city. It has everything a small city would have, like 2 hospitals. Exactly 2. You know, every small city is required to have 2 hospitals by law. I hope it has a Red Lobster. And restaurants and shopping malls all over the ship. What a fucking waste of resources. Shopping malls? Your 10 kilometer in diameter ship? What a waste. How much do you spend in fuel flying this shopping mall around? Shopping malls aren't even popular now. Are they more popular in the future to justify that waste of fuel? Okay, maybe. Who knows? They have space eggs. They're just like eggs over easy, reconstituted somehow. It's space! Captain Braemar takes the lead on a Mars Genesis. All right. Also has a romantic attachment to a young lady by the name of Lieutenant Heather Courtney, who is an officer's aide, because vagina, of course. She is made from the rib, not from the steering wheel, am I right, ship pilots? I don't know. What the fuck is this shit? Officer's aide? Oh my god, just say she gives the happy endings already. They have a few out-of-the-ordinary experiences that they do not forget anytime soon. It haunts their dreams as well. Our new friends, the Paulines, stop pushing it so hard, okay? I'll be friends if I want to. It feels like my mom being like, have a sleepover at their house. Come on, I don't want to. I don't like them. Fine, the Paulines are our fucking friends. I guess I'll invite them over. Have advanced us centuries ahead of our time for some fucking reason that we're like, just please don't use it to enslave people. Wink, wink. They also traded us for 5 of their newest ships in their space fleet, all with light speed capability, with all their weapons. Okay, he didn't spell intact or say the word intact. He apparently doesn't know how to. Doesn't know the word. He's just heard it said. So intact, which, if you don't know, being, you know, whole, complete, not just totally intact, intact. But he's just spelling it phonetically. So it's 2 different words. It is in, space, tact, taked. In, tact. Bone apple tea. They traded us for all kinds of their gadgetry, too. And even some of their food. Oh, more than eggs. That's what they do all over the galaxy. What the fuck is the point? What are they, the traveling Mr. Rogers band of merry men that just give away presents all over the universe? Why? Where? How do they make their money then? They're trading with basically cavemen compared to their technology. They don't need our rocks and sticks. They advanced us centuries. They don't give a shit about our technology. They're clearly doing this for some other reason. Why? Just to spread goodwill? So you're going to take a whole bunch of alien races now, give them your type of technology, including a bunch of weapons. You're all good and kind and not willing to make war, but you're giving this technology to people just on the hope they're not going to fuck with other people or races. You're basically creating races to fight you. You're going to end up making war because just because you're benevolent doesn't mean you're giving it to people who are. You've done no background checks on these species. You would know that Earthlings are not non-warlike people. But okay. They're just really nice and they just exist to give the author what he needs the characters to have. So thanks, Hand of God. They're looking for friends and ultimate knowledge and to trade with everyone they can find. And also the fucking. Don't forget the fucking. Captain Braemar also has a mission to do a genesis on Mars that turns out surprisingly good. With a few added benefits. One of the benefits was discovering a lot of Martian people and animals in a Noah's Ark kind of setup. They have been frozen for over 100,000 years. Okay, I feel like now you're giving away things, and I don't understand. I read your last book. That wasn't in it. So why is this in the introduction? God, you're one of those Hollywood storytellers that, like, you ever see a trailer and it's like, oh, they show all the way up to, like, the exciting plot, and they, but they also show, like, parts of the end, and you're like, oh, so now I know how this ends. Why did you show me this? Like, I don't need to see your movie now. Thank you for making it completely superfluous. I feel like he was about to just give me the summary of what this horrible book was about. Unless I somehow didn't read, but I did read the whole motherfucking thing. Y'all were there for it. So I don't want to hear your bullshit. If you try to say, oh, but in the after the credits rolled, there was this post-credit scene like nobody saw. But like all the cool shit happened there. Like, no. You don't get to retroactively. But anyway, I think he was just trying to spoil this whole thing because Mr. Intact isn't the brightest bulb on the Courtney tree. That belongs to Heather Courtney, the officer's aide. All right, guys, we're suffering. Moon People 2, Chapter 1. Mars Reborn. God help us all. I'm going to take a drink of this unfortunately non-alcoholic beverage and take a very large hit because, oh God, I have willingly stepped back on this ship, for apparently we're about to find a whole bunch of frozen things. Thanks, Dale Courtney. I hope they're like popsicles and they're all different flavors, like these aliens are cherry and these are grape. Look, it's not going to make the story worse or any stupider, all right? It's not going to make it worse, like... Intact. It's the story didn't get better. All right. Just the intro alone, Intact. My fear is not that this wasn't edited, but it was like edited by his sons. And they're just as smart as he is. I hope he never hears this. I feel like he's not smart enough to understand that this critique is valid, and he would be incredibly offended that I attacked his perfect work of fiction. I feel like someone who's this unself-aware would also be like, that bitch! You know, I don't know. That's his voice. I have no idea. That's Dale Courtney for you. He's so mad he's going to go write another terrible story. Oh, God. Okay. More David Braemar time. I'm excited. No, I'm not. I know, it's the best part of this. before the chapter begins. And that was terrible, so I have no hope. I'm choking to death. Maybe I'll die and don't have to. Okay. Moon People 2, Chapter 1, Mars Reborn. This story begins on a thriving planet like Earth. What? You literally stopped it on a cliffhanger. You... All right. Okay. It's just starting over all again. Fine, then. It already began. Is this a recap? The story continues. No? All right. Maybe it's just Moon People 2 is a totally different story. He just named it Moon People 2. He's like, I don't see why this has to have anything to do with Moon People 1. They just have totally different numbers in their names. How did you not know? No, it doesn't come after it. It's just about Moon People 2, the new ship called Moon People 2. It has nothing to do with the first one. I don't even know. Okay, this story begins on a thriving planet like Earth, but in another solar system far, far away, in the constellation of Capricorn. This planet is called Aston, and is mostly oceanic, with about a third of it being land. If I lived on Aston, my name would be Martin. Now on Aston, there is an abundance of life in its oceans and on land. The owners of this planet, owners? They own it? Who they buy it from? Can you own a planet? I feel like you're born there. Did they buy it? Are they trading it? Is this a slaved planet? Like, I feel like a planet, okay. The owners of this planet are a that's what Amazon's final goal is, are a humanoid race of people called the Baleens. Them again, huh? They are a highly advanced race of people. They were a lot more advanced than Earth in some areas and not in other areas, but with apostrophes for some reason. They look a lot like us, but their skin is of a dark complexion, and they have two small but very pronounced horns on their foreheads like a goat. That's way fucking dumber than I imagined. Thanks for not telling me that in the first one. I imagine them looking a lot less fucking stupid. So, thank you. This is probably why I don't describe my characters. Use your fucking imagination, because if I tried to, I'm afraid I'd come out with that bullshit. Something where people are like, wait, they look like that? And then like half the listeners are disappointed. I mean, I assume half, because I don't think I do this fucking bad a job, but you know what I mean. Imagination trumps all, right? You want people to imagine what's best to them. No one imagined goathead people. No one likes it. No one wants it. Goatheads? Goatheads. All right. The males had a larger and more pronounced horns than the females, for the fucking, obviously. You know, that's because they're horny. They're hornier. Look, don't fucking judge me, all right? I gotta get my happiness where I can. It's not coming from this story. The males had those big old fat horns for the fucking... I'm high, too, all right? They drove everywhere in hovercraft-looking cars. Wait, so are they cars or are they hovercraft? Because it's cool if they're hovercraft, it's lame if they're cars made to look like hovercrafts, but they're just cars. Hovercraft-looking cars! Hey guys, do you see the new Toyota looks just like a hovercraft? I mean, there's got wheels that touch the ground and everything, but it looks futuristic. Also, they had large hover aircrafts to transport large amounts of people from one place to another. They were not yet into space travel of any kind. Weren't they just in space? Maybe this is in the past. I don't know. They had satellites, and they could get out to a very close orbit in space, close to their planet, but that was it. Oh, so they... It's not apparently considered space travel since they were just in space, but they didn't travel really that far. So it's more like a space little day trip. Their ozone was three times the strength that Earth's was. Also, they spelled it O Hyphen zone, like orgasm zone. You don't know that ozone is one word? It is actually just a word, ozone. It stands for something, and it is not the O zone. I don't know if I've blown anyone's mind. It's an ozone layer. It is not the O zone. The ozone is when I fuck your mom. That's the bed. The ozone. Their ozone was 3 times the strength that Earth's was. They were, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. I don't know if 3 times the ozone is even a good thing. And I don't think you do either. You're just like, ozone is shit, is like a shield. 3 times is better. How do you know? I don't know enough about the ozone, but that sounds like some bullshit. I don't think that's actually, that's not true. Okay. I'm just saying that sounds like incorrect because I feel like a lot of things are kind of pretty carefully balanced. And I feel like a super thick ozone might fuck shit up. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do know that it's ozone and not the ozone. So I feel like I'm at least a little higher up than this guy. Oh yeah, the ozone. Hey baby, you want to go to the ozone? It's like basically saying you want to go to Bone Town, but you're like the ozone because you know you're going to come. Well, I know you're going to come. That's right. Mm-hmm. Because I don't stop until you get 3 times the ozone strength. Which is apparently a good thing. They were a very peaceful race of people and stupidly naive, giving weapons to everyone. Okay, they didn't say that. And lived in great harmony with each other somehow. Have you met other people? How do they do that? Apparently, because I was going to say they don't have cars. Maybe the hovercraft means people don't get so angry in traffic because they have a lot of weapons. Like, why'd they make all those weapons if, like, they weren't using them? What's the point of creating them at all then? Why would you create a bunch of fucking advanced weaponry if you were completely peaceful and didn't fight? I don't see the point then. Why would you spend your money creating extremely advanced weaponry if you didn't intend to use it ever? Do you just like to start shit and give it to other people and sit back and watch like Jerry Springer with popcorn while everyone around the fucking world kills each other? You're like, haha, look at all the universe killing each other, all those weapons we gave them, haha, and you high five. Like, it's kind of fucked up. It's like if you were like Sweden and you just start shit like with every other country, give them weapons and just let them fight each other. Some pretty fucked up shit, like dogfighting, but like with different planets. My God, the Baleens, I'm understanding their secret plan. Because really, why would you put that much money into weapons you won't use? Doesn't make sense. Am I the only one seeing that this is clearly an evil plan? Like, they're doing some evil shit. They all live in great harmony. What is this? Like, it makes me think of, what is it? The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, right? And all those people, like, singing on Christmas. They all, like, hold hands. They sing that stupid-ass song, and everybody's, you know, la la la, kumbaya, everything's great. And it's not like that. It's only like that in that story for like one moment because that's not how people fucking are. We fight and it's normal and natural and you shouldn't necessarily, you know, be upset at people for getting angry. That's a normal, natural emotion. However, maybe war is bad. And I just furthermore argue a species would not, you know, put that much of their resources into making weapons and giving them away to any new race that comes along without having some ulterior motive. Because, I mean, I don't know how their economy works, but I fail to see how that's feasible in any way for them economically to continue to just give things and giving them to people that, who are much more technologically unadvanced than they are. So, like, what are you getting in return other than their trust? And the enjoyment of seeing the monkey men hurt themselves with the new weapons you gave them. All right, because they're the goat people. We're the monkey people to them. They're like, look at their weird hornless faces. It's like taking like a bunch of toddlers and giving them guns and being like, haha, this will be funny. But like for a whole species. Okay. Yeah, they're super peaceful. This all sounds like the perfect scenario and would be if it wasn't for one of their suns having constant solar flares hitting their home planet with heavy radiation with ion particles. And I love that he puts in here, in case you didn't know, oh my good God, electrically charged atom or atoms group, an atom or group of atoms that has acquired an electric charge by losing or gaining one or more electrons. In a quote, like this motherfucker went to like fucking Wikipedia and quoted this shit in the middle of a fucking fictional book. I... Really? You really just had to stop to tell me what ions were. Thanks, Dale Courtney. I didn't know that was appropriate to do in a fictional book, but apparently it is. I need another sip of this, unfortunately, root beer. Though regular beer would not be enough to dull the pain of this fucking encyclopedia. Okay. Too bad it could look up ions and not intact or ozone. Or how to write. Everything was fine in their solar system and with their sun, and suddenly all at once, they started having one solar flare after another. I believe your sun is menopausal. It's going through hot flashes. Have you tried turning down the air conditioner or maybe a fan? Hormones? They're getting more intense and erratic as the months went by. They were getting so bad. They were starting to wonder if they were going to have to start living under the ground because the heat was so intense after each flare hit. I mean, you should probably start doing something about it instead of just being like, dude, we're baking alive. Should we maybe live underground? Let's see if it starts killing us. Well, it wasn't long before that's exactly what they had to do. And then all the crops were dying. He doesn't know how to spell dying either. They could still travel through the air, but they had to risk it in between solar flares because it would mess up their computers. How hot can they take it? It'd mess up their computers, but wouldn't it fuck with them? Then all of the sudden, their sun darkened by a third. I like making up things too when you don't have to actually explain them. Yeah, it just went dark, woo, by a third. Everyone was panicking on the planet. It was also starting to get very cold. A lot more colder. Oh, not more, colder. It was getting darker during the day. Well, it was a third darker as the sun, of course. It was getting darker. I mean, honestly, it's not a good thing, but, like, better than living underground in the baking death planet. Which is exactly what I didn't want to think about, which is why I was reading this. Fail. Anyway, everyone was panicking. It was not looking good for Aston and its inhabitants. Then one day, everyone was watching the sun's erratic behavior with multiple solar flares, and all of a sudden their sun started to flicker in and out three times, and then went supernova and exploded and sent the planet Aston launching into space. I call bullshit. It's sent the planet launching. It didn't explode the planet. The planet just flew. The planet just flew like a ball. I call bullshit. The planet flew at the speed of 20 million times the speed of light, like a shooting star. Is that how fast you think a shooting star travels? 20 million times the speed of light, like a shooting. You think we could observe it? A shooting star at 20 million times the speed of light? Okay, sure. You got a Wikipedia entry for that? It shot across a third of the heavens in the blink of an eye. All of the people at first that were on the surface that were on the side that faced the sun incinerated from the supernova, but there was some that survived the supernova because they were living underground on the other side of the planet away from the sun. But As soon as their son launched them into space, they were immediately frozen into a giant comet with all the oceans and wildlife that were on the far side of the planet when their sun exploded. This is like watching The Core or any bullshit movie where they make up all the fucking things that happen and go, yes, this is what it would be like. And you go, no, it wouldn't. And they go, yes, it would. Hiss. And you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll just take your word for it, person who knows nothing about how anything works. Anyway, oh my goodness. Well, it's terrible. The oceans were very large and deep on the outside of Aston, but now Aston is no more and has become a small comet launching across the universe 20 million times the speed of light. I'm amazed it even exists at all with the fucking friction. It should immediately break up. Are you fucking serious? It stayed together? Okay. I call bullshit. What's it made of? Unobtainium? I fucking think so. It would fucking dissolve immediately. Are you shitting me? I don't believe it kept together. It's not a tennis ball that you hit with a racket. It's a sun that went supernova and made it, it hit it so hard. It supposedly travels at 20 million times the speed of light and it's intact? No! Nothing could hit it that hard and keep it intact. No. All right, whatever. I'm no physicist. In fact, I got an F in physics. But I know this shit doesn't work. All right, deep breaths. Ha. Okay, no, it's a little comet now. It's fine, it's fine. 20 million times speed of light. Just walk it off. It's just a flesh wound. I can do it. Aston's got this. This face worse. Finally, after a long travel distance in space, Aston is finally starting to slow way down. Yes, it was still there. It finally was coming up to a mostly volcanic planet with very little water and had some large dinosaurs and a lot of primitive life forms on land. Well, it can't be that little water if there's very large dinosaurs. What are they drinking? Each other's piss? And where does that come from? Water. Ha ha. Forget I said that part. Anyway, there was lots of primitive life forms. Suddenly, Aston slams into this planet and welds itself for a short time to the other planet, and then, because the planet rotating and because of centrifugal force, you can't just say science-y words and go, this is science. How fast is it rotating? Is it like going 20 million times the speed of light? Aston recoiled like a spring, and bounced from the impact, causing both planets to break apart. Wait, that caused it to break apart? First of all, you said Aston was a comet, not a planet. But fine. That causes it to break apart, but not the sun going supernova and hurling it with some impact hard enough to send it hurtling through space, a planet, which is no light weight, at 20 million times the speed of light, and it didn't break, but hitting a planet caused it to break when it did a bouncy bounce. Okay, Superman and its kryptonite. And then Aston gets caught up in its gravitational field that the planet it hit and becomes its only moon. Didn't the planet break in half? Most of the ice that was on Aston melted when it hit the planet and was now oceans on this other planet, and the new planet was no longer a volcanic planet anymore, but has cooled way down. None of this is going to mean shit for the story later, just mind you. None of it matters, it's all trash, this guy loves to pat it, that's why his real name is Paddington Essay. If you weren't here for the last one, none of this will go anywhere. He's just talking to hear himself talk, like me, you know? We're here for this, I'm here for that, it's all that comes together. Anyway, many of the volcanoes that were erupting eventually started to cool. Many of the oceanic life forms did survive from the initial freezing after the supernova. When this took place, it would be 26,000 years earlier to the present time. I love presents. Yes, you are correct. Who are you talking to? Is it us? All right. He didn't end it with a period. He has a comma, and then he capitalizes, yes. Yes, you are correct. It is now Earth in the year 2049, and the Earth's moon is what we are talking about. It is the planet Aston. Oh my fucking Jesus. I didn't think it could get stupider, and it did. So that's how our moon came to be, everyone. I demand. Everyone's talking about people, you know, critical race theory. We need to be talking about critical moon theory. All right. I'm talking pamphlets about the real nature of the moon, that it's really Aston. And 26,000 years ago, their sun went supernova, and it hit it, causing it to travel through space at 20 million times the speed of light, as sometimes the sun's going supernova is apt to do, much like the shooting stars we see every day in the sky. It could be another Aston if you see one. And it just traveled and traveled and traveled, and then it hit Earth and broke Earth in half. And then it became our moon. And I'm really tired of hearing that it was some other, way that occurred. It was Aston. And all the moon aliens, we need to look for their underground structures. Anyway, that's how I was wrong. This does have something to do with Earth. He made some bullshit story up for us about how our moon came to be. It was full of goat people. You know, the goat people. This is the year 2049. I don't know about you guys. Personally, I'm extremely excited. This is very soon. All right. Right now, I'm reading this in the year our Lord 2021, but this means in a mere 28 years, we're going to be alive for this, unless you're listening to this and you're old, in which case I respect my seniors and good job. Life sucks. And, you know, well done staying alive so far. Especially in the coming climate wars. And regardless, this is 2049. We're going to be here for this. So remember, this will be happening. Prepare yourself for whatever this is, okay? Prepare ourselves. We must prepare. This is our new mission, to stay through it. Keep all the lessons we can in the future. Red lobster for every date. That's what you want. Eggs for every meal. 10 out of 10. Anyway, 2049, and the Earth's moon is what we're talking about. It's the planet Aston. Yeah. Yep. Now we take you to present time. Yay! And this story begins off the planet of Mars. Is it off or on the planet of Mars? Fucking hell. It begins off the planet of Mars, so anywhere else other than Mars in the universe. Hey guys, this recording is taking place off the planet of Mars. You're all listening off the planet of Mars, where the Lunar Base 1 has positioned itself for 6 months of exploration. Okay, that typo. 6 months of exploration became 6 months of exploration. And let me tell you, I'm so tempted to make that a role play now for this nonstop Nut November. 6 months of exploration, and you're just like, you're getting oral from like 6 different girls, and I play all these different characters. The 6 months of exploration, your entire body, like you're basically like laying in bed, and you have like a harem of women, but they're all the different characters, and they're all just like kissing you and licking you and sucking all over, and it's the 6 months of exploration. Because fuck you, David Bramer, I can take good things out of bad things. Anyway, it was there for 6 months of exploration. I don't blame it. Hot damn. That's a lot that those mouths can do. And study for a possible genesis for colonization. So far, Mars base is... I mean, honestly, I will be so fucking disappointed if, like, the Mars colonization project goes forward and David Bramer is who they pick. I'd be like, oh, so we're all fucked. So far, Mars base has found that under the surface of Mars are large cavities of ice. Also, Mars base has found that Mars' core has cooled off over the centuries. They also found that Mars's magnetic field is very low, and the rotation of the planet has slowed to an abnormal speed. First science officer Captain David Bramer and the crew of the Lunar Base 1 are about to implement an experiment that will heat up the core of Mars and raise its magnetic field density. You don't say, Dr. Scientist. Also melt the ice cavity underneath the surface. That should create oxygen and water throughout the planet. If all goes well, I feel like you're talking out your motherfucking asshole. Mr. Triple Ozone? You get the triple ozone from the six mouths. I get it now. Also, by heating up the core in the right spot, you gotta heat up the core and just hit the right ozone, should increase the speed of rotation of the planet. Did you watch The Core and you thought that's how that worked? Oh my god, you're the person that goes, I know science. I watched science movie. And you go, no, that was a Hollywood film. And those producers don't know anything. And you're like, shh, heat up the core. It's science. Oh my god. You know, I didn't think it could get worse than it did because he tried to go scientific on us. And like, I don't know enough to really tear this apart. But I know just enough to know how full of shit this guy is. And it's the most frustrating in between because I want to Google it and be like, no, here's why he's full of shit. This is what happened. It would. And instead I'm just going, look, I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's not a thing, right? Right? It's not a thing. Oh, God. This is one of the areas that we are a little worried about in the experiment. I swear the way he just changes it. Oh my god. Every time. We. But I thought it wasn't about real people. David fucking fill in the... Okay. The Mars base will be monitoring everything down on Mars. And we will be monitoring everything from space. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. He had a picture. And I'm gonna see if I can, like, attach this picture to this one because it's probably the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I really can't explain it. I'm gonna try to see if I can put some of that picture up for you. You know, it's not my work, but you know, like I'll see if you can see it because it's got some people on Mars, and oh boy, the artwork is very interesting. But yeah, they're on Mars touching some rocks. So that looks exciting. We do not really know exactly how much we need to heat up the core. Are you drunk writing this? You're not supposed to write in slur. You don't have to. How much we gotta heat up? We have a few differences of opinions. Who's we? Who are we? Everyone on Mars, could you tell me? Are you going to reintroduce the characters? The guy with the voice and the lady that did the thing? We are going to use a microwave beam to heat up the core at 3-second intervals, like me when I'm reheating something and I'm like not sure if it's quite hot enough. And then they stir it each time in between. The beam itself has a strength of 200,000 watts. Once it leaves the ship, by the time it hits the surface, the strength's about 50,000 watts. That doesn't mean shit to you, but let's continue. And by the time it gets through to the core, the power level's about 20,000 watts. Is everyone taking notes? There will be a test on Friday. On the bridge of the Lunar Base 1, Admiral Benson is in command. Oh no, he didn't remember quotes, only when he's quoting Wikipedia. Let's put Mars on the main view screen, Lieutenant Parsons, ordered Admiral Benson. Lieutenant Fisher, are we ready to implement the microwave beam yet? Lieutenant Fisher answered, we're just about ready, sir. Captain Bramer said to the lieutenant, have you aligned the beam to the coordinates of... He didn't even say coordinates. He said coordinates of 45 north 32 17 and 85 west 22 46. Yes, ma'am, Captain Bremer replied. Lieutenant Fisher, we are go for microwave beam. As soon as we go over a few small details, Coordinates. Okay, I don't want to really like put too high a bar in the entry to writing because everyone should learn to write. I think it's a great thing. You know, if you're interested and it's something that you'd like to do, go ahead. I think it's fantastic to be creative. However, know what words mean if you're trying to use them. Please, please, oh, please, please make sure you're using the right words. Coordinates. Co and ordinance. They're both technically things that you can say, but no. Oh my God. Ugh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Anyway, they're going to microwave Mars. All right. Do you think they're going to put it on like a medium high? Medium? Because I feel like if you're, well, 3 second intervals, you can probably put it on high. But if you're going to do it longer, you need to make sure you put it a little lower because you don't want it to burn. How big is Mars? Of like the core? How big's the core? That's when you have to know. Is it small enough that high for 3 seconds? Who knows? I don't microwave planets very often, so I don't have the experience. Then Admiral Benson asked, Captain Braemar, when we begin, how exactly do you wish me to proceed from here? Would you brief me one more time? Why aren't you... You should not be this late in the process going, wait, what are we doing again? What I mean by that is, do you want me to gap the intervals every 10 seconds or 5 or what? Like, that's not incredibly vital information? I thought it was 3 seconds. You don't know? You're about to do it. I know you have everything ready. I bet they've never done this before and they're testing it the first time directly on the planet. And they're like, if this fails, everyone dies. Hee 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 hee. It's the best. They love doing things on the fly. They're like, we could test it, but that's lame. That's adult stuff. Bleh. Let's be cool. Live in the now. Kill ourselves. Captain Braemar answered, well, sir, I would like to try it like this. Like, he honestly didn't tell him, God, we're dead. We're so dead, you guys. We hit the core with the beam for 3 seconds, and then I will monitor the core's temperature and oxygen levels and its magnetic field, and also rotation speed, and check with the Mars base, and we'll go from there, and if we need more of the beam or stop. You didn't say that normally. Are any of you sober? Admiral Benson replied, okay, that sounds logical, Captain. Let's proceed with the Genesis then. Okay, Lieutenant Fisher, you ready on the beam? Yes, sir, Lieutenant Fisher answered. Then Admiral Benson said, on my mark. Wait, how many seconds again? No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that part, but he might as well have. Okay, Lieutenant, fire that beam for a 3 second interval? Yeah, 3 second interval. Yes, sir. Beam has been engaged, sir. Sir, the core has increased its temperature. Oh, yeah. Wait, sorry. Captain Braemar said this, and he's dumb as shit. Sir, the core has increased its temperature 8 degrees, said Captain Braemar. There's no chance of rotation speed and no oxygen either, sir. Also, no change in the magnetic field, sir. I recommend we increase the time to 10 seconds, sir. Okay, Captain, said the Admiral in between sips of his whiskey. Is everyone ready? Captain Braemar and Lieutenant Fisher said, there, I'll go here, sir. You know, together, because they also have that, like, weird parasitic thing that they're all combined in hosts. You know, they all speak together all the time. Lots of people just speaking in tandem. I used to not be used to it, and now I expect it. When the pod people don't start all speaking at the same time together, I'm like, wait a second, has it lost control? I'm worried. How's the queen doing? Okay, let's see. Yeah, we're all go. Oh, yeah. Affirmative. Let's fire that beam for 10 seconds. Firing the microwave beam now, sir. 10 seconds went by, and Captain Braemar said, Admiral, we now have a 30-degree increase in core temperature, and we're showing a 3% increase in the magnetic field, and we're showing a minor increase in speed to 1/3 kilometer per hour, sir. And the planet is stable, Admiral.
Captain, what do you think?
Well, sir, answered Captain Braemar. The ideal speed would be about 25% more of an increase an hour on the rotation speed. Also, sir, I show no increase in oxygen either, and I eat my boogers. Admiral, the fact we see an increase in speed of 1/2 kilometer in rotation means I've never been laid, and an increase in the magnetic field shows that it's working and the planet looks stable. Mars base verifies we're stable. We would also like to increase the core temperature another 1,500 to 3,000 degrees, sir.
It's kind of a big fucking difference. God damn, okay.
Admiral, let's try 3 10-second intervals and check our readings.
Affirmative, Captain. Whatever you said, I guess.
Okay, are you ready, Lieutenant Fisher?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, Lieutenant.
Implementing, sir. First 10 seconds complete, second 10 seconds complete, final 10 seconds has completed, sir.
Captain, how are we looking?
Sir, we have an increase.
We don't give a shit. Why are you telling us how, like, the intervals in which you're microwaving your burrito? God. Like, is any of this gonna... No, none of it's gonna matter. Paddington! How do you manage to start a whole story with padding again? Just like last time, with Cheryl and the eggs. For, like, chapters on chapters. And now it's involving space, and they're melting Mars, and it's still padding. We don't need to know all the 10 seconds you're completing.
All right, it's 800 degrees warmer now, and our magnetic field has increased to 27%. Our rotation speed has increased 8 kilometers an hour.
Sir, look at the surface of the planet. It looks like it's starting to smoke, said Lieutenant Fisher.
No, Lieutenant, I believe that's ice melting, you stupid shit. It's called steam.
And what you see is water evaporating. Let me guess, he's never taken a science class, because who bothers graduating past grade 3 with this fucking group of assholes?
And making oxygen or steam as soon as it hits the surface atmosphere, because you don't understand first grade science.
Do you know there are 3 states of matter? Wait, wait, I'm gonna blow your mind.
Water can be all 3.
Of course, there are other gases and debris mixed in. I took a huge fart. But it should settle rather quickly once the effects of the sun start hitting the steam.
Sir, the experiment is starting to work. Showing signs of oxygen levels on the surface of Mars, sir.
So is the Mars base.
It's small amount, but it's oxygen. Captain, that's incredible. Congratulations, Captain. Just one.
One congratulation. I need to reserve the other one for someone later.
Do we try for double or nothing? What does that even mean?
Well, sir, the planet shows it's stable and everything looks good, so let's fuck it up. The Mars base reports everything is going stable. Yes?
I think we should, Admiral.
Okay, Captain. I will do this, but I recommend after we do this, let's study the planet for a few days on what we have done.
What the shit? Okay, hold on. Hold the fuck on. So you do this. Everything is stable. Everything is good. There are signs of oxygen. You don't even know how the planet is reacting to what you've done, and you're like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go double or nothing. What's the or nothing? Kill the planet? How about not double or nothing? How about progress and study the planet now?
Nope. That makes too much sense.
This dumbass thought smoke, steam was smoke, so who knows?
He didn't even know what steam was. The guy had to tell him.
Anyway, they want double or nothing.
Sure, let's try for more water killing the planet.
I like those odds. 50-50. I just don't want to press our luck.
Sounds good, Admiral. Okay, are you ready, Lieutenant Fisher?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and do it one more time, Lieutenant.
Yes, Admiral.
Implementing now, sir.
First 10 seconds complete. Second 10 seconds complete.
Final 10 seconds is completed. Ah, sir.
Everyone said, look at Mars. Oh, everyone. Oh, look at Mars. See, the hive mind was like, look, observe, planet. And all of a sudden, the planet's surface was spewing steam into the outer atmosphere several places all over the surface, and it was all steaming up the entire atmosphere to where you couldn't see the surface of Mars anymore. It got that steamy. Oh, my sweet Jesus. Okay, I'm going to stop here because chapter one is 1,000,000 pages long. On the picture of Mars they left me, in case I forgot what it looked like through all the steam. It's even worse. I'm enjoying it, even though it's making me crazy. And I hope, if you know exactly why what he said is bullshit, please feel free to tell me so in the comments below, because I'm curious. I know it's bullshit. And hopefully you will join me back again next week for some more of this bullshit with another Drunk and Dangerous. Thank you guys for being here. I love you, and I'll talk to you next week. Mwah! Bye.